A few years ago, I was speaking with a bus driver from the area who every week drives a bus down into Iowa and fills it up with elderly people from a senior housing complex and drives it back to a casino up by Redwood Falls. And there they spend the entire day gambling. They are each given $30 to begin in casino bucks, you might say, to begin their gambling. They're each given a free meal, and the bus trip is all paid for. That tells you how much casinos know what they're going to make on people. All of them, as they come every time, he says, are full of great hope and anticipation that they're going to win the big jackpot. But statistics are that over 90% of them will walk out of the casino with less money each week than they came in with. Their hopes of winning that big jackpot are tied to a rotten tree. And when they try to pull themselves up to a better place by it, that rope gives way. Hope is an interesting word. Years ago, I don't know if it's quite the same today, but years ago, young ladies, when they were entering adolescence, 12 or 13, often had a hope chest. In Australia, they call them a glory box. And your parents would often construct it or buy it for you, and you would paint it beautifully and decorate it, and you would then fill it with all the things you hoped someday you would be using in your new married life, in your new home. And yet for many hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of women through the years, their wishes and dreams about getting married were dashed because they couldn't control the hearts of young men. And so those hopes again were tied to a tree whose roots were not secure. One of my grade school classmates, my exact same age, is right now trying to make a difficult decision in Emmanuel St. Joseph's Hospital, two blocks away from us. She has terminal cancer, and she's trying to decide whether she should keep trying to treat it with chemotherapy, which is difficult, or just let it go. 4 years ago, when she got married, she was all excited with the new hope and wishful thinking of what was going to happen in her life, but she couldn't even control what was going to take place to her own body. None of us can. Disappointment, being let down, is a natural part of living in this sinful and fallen world. Something that can seem so real and so possible and so potentially fulfilling and something that looks like it's going to gratify us and be so lasting and be so secure can just fall apart so quickly. What hopes do you have for your future right now? What earthly hopes do you have about your life? And maybe think of it this way. What hopes do you have for your future over which you have complete control? None. When it comes to the things of this world and this life, none of us can claim to have complete control over all of the things that need to happen for us to find happiness and joy from the things of this world. Because everything in this world, all the hopes that we can have, all the dreams that we can have, are always like a rope tied to a rotten tree with no roots. And it may hold securely for a little bit and a little while to pull us up from the ravine. But a time will come when the tree will let go because it's dead. Notice the great contrast to what we have in our text before us. Our text today is from 1 Peter chapter 1, the third verse, one of the great standard texts in this Easter season. Listen to how confidently Peter writes to us by the Holy Spirit. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. Notice that, a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation to be revealed in the last time. What an amazing text. It takes kind of our whole Christian faith and how it attaches itself to us and just lays it all out so beautifully. Through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, by his accomplishments on both the cross and from the empty grave, God now has tossed down from heaven to you and me through the waters of your baptism, even right now through my mouth, through the sacrament of the altar. God has tossed down to you and me the blood-stained rope that Christ has attached to the living things of heaven. And that rope of hope that can pull us from the despair of this world and out of our own grave someday is fastened and anchored securely in the already accomplished and completed work of Christ. It's not attached to something that still has to be done. It's attached to something that's done historically. Christ has already shed his holy blood for all your sins, and he has already powerfully risen from the grave. It's a historical fact. And God has now based your hope on things that are already done through Christ. In fact, he wants you to be so secure as you grab onto this rope and hope in Christ and hope for heaven. He wants you to be so secure that God even attaches the rope to his own essence. In other words, if God, he's given you his promise and his true word, and if God were to go back on that word and to lie, he would cease to be God, because God is holy and without sin. So God has even gone so far to attach your hope of heaven not only to the accomplished work of Christ, the finished, completed work of Christ, but also to his very being and essence. And so, unlike the ropes of this world that can give us some hope that are attached to rotten tree trunks, this rope that we have in Christ is attached to the living tree of Christ. Martin Luther once said this: if the devil tempts you with uncertainty, invite him to come to the empty grave of Christ with you and say to him, go argue with God. That's a great line. Go point to the empty tomb of Christ if you're feeling doubts and tell the devil, you go argue with God. Your argument is with him and not with me. God knows how uncertain we can sometimes feel. He knows how security for us weak people is something we need to have. And so he doesn't attach our certainty on our own faith, because if yours is like mine, it's going up and down all over the place. That wouldn't give me much security. But instead, he attaches it to himself, and he ties it to Christ and what our Lord Jesus has already done for us. And this theme of security and certainty is a constant motif that runs throughout the Scriptures. It's always interesting that when, and we see this so beautifully in our text, whenever God talks to believers about heaven, he never talks in terms of if or maybe. It's always with absolute certainty. And so go ahead and tug on the rope that God has dropped down to you from heaven, and grab onto it with white knuckles, because it's anchored in Christ, and hold on tight. It will pull you from your grave. Not a single person that has ever lived has ever been disappointed holding on to that blood-stained rope. And so hymns of praise then let us sing. Alleluia. Unto Christ, our heavenly King. Alleluia. Please rise for prayer. Today we honor two prayer requests, one on behalf of Dr. Ryan McPherson, who continues to struggle with back pain from a back injury and from a car accident years ago, and also for Professor Jewel Madsen, who was at one time the chaplain here at Bethany, who this past weekend suffered a severe stroke, and we pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we come before you through the merits of Christ Jesus our Lord and ask that your healing hand would now rest upon these men, your servants. According to your gracious will, relieve and restore them again to better health. Strengthen them and all of us by your marvelous grace and secure promises that we continue to possess this living hope. Grant that our faith, which is even more precious than gold, may be purified and strengthened as we look forward to our own resurrection through the work of your Son, our risen Savior. Amen.